The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you with the help of our sponsor, AWeber, the world's leading small business email marketing and automation service provider. Since 1998, AWeber has helped more than 1 million small businesses and entrepreneurs through its suite of web-based email marketing, automation tools, and education. AWeber, the best option when it comes to marketing your business. The podcast is also brought to you by The Alternative Board. Since 1989, The Alternative Board, or TAB, has been one of the leading peer advisory and business coaching organizations for independent business owners and CEOs across the world. By facilitating peer advisory boards, private one-on-one coaching, and strategic planning services, TAB helps business owners improve their businesses in ways that change their lives. And be sure to connect with our affiliate sponsor, GSM Growth Agency. They're boosting e-commerce businesses to 6 and 7 figures in revenue and cover everything from ads and social media influencers to making your website better. GSM Growth Agency focuses on taking businesses from startup success to bigger success, going above and beyond to make sure growth sticks around. They're all about cool ideas, lasting partnerships, and making your mark in the e-commerce world. And be sure to support the podcast by ordering some logo merchandise from our online store. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services. Hey, welcome to another episode of the podcast. We had a little technical problems there, but we're excited to have Mark on the show today. Talk a little bit about AI automation, independent media, and his podcast. He's a podcaster himself. So if you're listening on your favorite directory, please be sure and leave us a 5-star review. If you're watching us on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like us. We can keep bringing good guests on the show like Mark and all the others have been on over the years. So let's get on with today's show.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode.
What's up? I'm Mark Savant, and I'm passionate about giving business owners, entrepreneurs, executives, giving you a voice, helping you stand out in a busy, crowded world, and quite frankly, saving you from AI with AI. Now's the time, y'all. And in this episode, we are going to get down and dirty on how you can actually leverage these powerful tools to stay relevant in a quickly changing world. Let's get it.
Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it. I know it's sunny Florida, probably nice down there. It's freezing up in New Jersey. So, what is the weather down? Where in Florida are you? South Florida?
I live in Broward County, Parkland, Florida, very close to Fort Lauderdale, yeah. And it is freezing down here. It's like in the high 60s. It's miserable.
It's going to be in the 50s today. It's up here. It's going to be like spring. You know, everything's relative. But yeah, my wife's from Fort Lauderdale. Her brother lives in Boca. We're down there a lot. So it's good to connect with you. So why don't we start? I know we're going to talk about AI and all the great things you're doing with business owners. Maybe we can spend a good 10, 15 minutes just talking about you, your background, kind of where you got to where you are, and then we'll jump into it. I know you're anxious to talk about AI, so let's just give some people some background. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I'm a lifelong employee, and about 14 months ago, I was able to leave my day job to focus on what I do now, which is helping business owners launch and automate their digital presence through podcasting.
Cool.
Right? I mean, It's like we live in this digital world where you need to be on Instagram, you need to be on LinkedIn, you need to be on YouTube, you need to have a blog, you need to have an email, you need all these things. But we run businesses.
Yeah,
we've got all this stuff to do and we run these businesses. And, you know, I tried all these different ways to try to make it happen. But what I realized is that, listen, if I can get on a 15 to 20 minute Zoom call once a week, I can use tools, I can use team, I can figure out ways to be omnipresent. And so that's what my main business focus is on now. It's helping that business owner be on every platform all the time, and all they need to spend is 15 to 30 minutes a week connecting with the person right. they'd like to connect with and it's been really powerful.
Makes me feel better, because somebody once told me that to be relevant, you should be posting every 50 minutes. I said, 50 minutes? How about once a week? I mean, I don't have time for that. I got to make money and do client work. I have ethical responsibilities. It's ridiculous. But yeah, if you could automate and be everywhere. So am I going to be able to automate it so I don't even have to be the host anymore? This is going to be some digital guy that looks like me and talks, and you know, I don't even have to do this anymore?
I mean, you're giving me a layup here, but the short answer is you know, yes. Within the next 2 years, the biggest action stars, the most popular singers are just going to be AI generated. It's already happening.
That's what all the strikes were about. It's kind of frightening, though.
Yeah. News. There's a Twitter account called, like, I think it's called like News One or AI News One or something like that. And they just released a 21-minute news report. Yeah. All the anchors, a lot of the graphics and video was all AI generated. And so it was using like actually new and relevant news that's happening now, combined with AI actors, and it looked amazing. It looked amazing. If you didn't know they were AI, you wouldn't really know. They looked that good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So were these created people, or were these actually AI, AI replicas of real people who were the anchors?
To my understanding, they're AI generated like avatars. Yeah. But they look so real. And there's, you know, these AI generated avatars, they never get sick. They never get tired. Right. They never take a day off. They never have a bad hair day. They never get a pimple. Yeah. They look perfect. And you know what I think is also interesting is, you know, everyone has different looks that they like. You know, for all the men out there, you're a butt guy, or you're a face guy, or you're a personality guy, or whatever. Right. You could get exactly what you want. You like long hair. Do you like short hair? Do you like slim, short, tall? You know, so I think we're going to move to this world where, you know, you can get your news from the exact avatar that you're, that you have an attraction for. Yeah. And that's already happening. We can get into how
so
that's happening.
You basically
happening,
can choose your news person that you want to watch the news because you think they're attractive and hot. Yeah.
Sure. Your news person, your relationship. I mean, there's a company called Replica AI, which was generating these AI friends. They called them friends, but basically they were sexed bots. And you could choose exactly how you wanted your sex bot to look. And not only could you look at them and watch them, but you could actually communicate with them via text. And so what ended up happening is they started getting all these subscribers, and they're like, we want to go public, but we got to clean up our image. We don't want to be seen as like the OnlyFans of AI chatbots.
Exactly.
And so they removed that functionality to have these kind of like intimate sexual type discussions. And then all of their users, like millions of users overnight, were like, you just lobotomized our girlfriend.
Right.
They're like, oh crap. They were pissed. They're like, Mike, I don't have my girlfriend anymore. How scary is that? Where you think that the chatbot is your
like
actual
Cherry
girlfriend.
Cherry 2000, remember that? Or 3000, whatever that movie was. And the
Blade Runner.
A robot living in your house, and you know, she looked any way you wanted her to look, and you know, she was your wife or your concubine or whatever the hell you want to call her. Which is freaking frightening.
Yeah, it's already happening. In Japan, they already have like the full robots, but you know, when you start mixing in things like VR, augmented reality, I have a bold prediction. Within 5 years, half of high school kids are going to be dating AI chatbots, AI robots.
Very bold, but very frightening. I mean, we're still human beings, right? So we got to interact with other human beings. We want our species to continue from a biological standpoint. We don't want to replace ourselves with robots and we don't procreate. I mean, you know, then we might as well just give up and, you know. It's just crazy.
I mean, I think humans are awesome. I'm with you there, but I do think that there's a cabal of people that maybe are kind of like too many humans destroying the world. So motives? I don't know. We won't get into conspiracy theories, but what I do know is that there are a lot of people that are going to have relationships with these AI bots.
Yeah. Well, look, there's been movies about it. So it's frightening. Look, at some point, I guess you and I will do this podcast and we won't be real, right? There'll be an avatar for me, avatar for you, and just press a button and we can talk about whatever we want.
I mean, you go to high school kids, Gen Z kids, and you ask, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? A good percentage of them are going to say, like, I want to be an influencer or I want to be a YouTuber, a podcaster. that path is starting to close down because there's only so much money that's being used. And, you know, once you introduce AI bots, you're going to have agencies that's all they do is they create AI bots. And so, you know, you're not going to need to see a model.
Right.
Like, how many women get paid because they look good wearing a dress?
No, or
look
now
good
a company wearing... can go and hire this company to produce the bot to do their ad. They don't need to have to do a shoot. It'll be all virtual. They don't need to travel around the world to do a shoot. They can do it all within, not even a studio, probably within a computer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you could do it in your garage. An influencer. Her name is Lil Miquela. Okay. She has 3 million followers on Instagram alone. That's not to mention TikTok and YouTube. Yeah. She's got millions of dollars in net worth. The last time I checked, it was something like $3 or $4 million in net worth. She just did an ad with BMW on her Instagram channel, and she's getting paid tens of thousands of dollars for these ads.
Because she has followers.
She's got followers. She has influence. And honestly, it looked really cool. It looked really cool. You can check it out. Lil Miquela, she has this BMW ad. And so that let's say, I don't know the exact amount that BMW paid her. I think she averages about $10,000 a post, but that's...
It's real money.
Her influence has grown. Yeah.
Look, I think the whole influence industry is kind of like going to go and what happens with any kind of celebrities, you know? I mean, everybody wants to go into acting, right? Into movies and a TV, and very few of them get there. A lot of them struggle, some rise to the top and become, you know, and that's what'll happen. There'll be some people that are always, there'll always be new influencers coming, but it's going to be a narrow pyramid to the top, you know?
It's going to be more narrow. The chance of generating income as an influencer is going to start to become more and more difficult. And does that mean less people are on social media or people kind of reject that and say, we only care about human influencers? I don't know. We'll see. But one thing is for sure, every company is going to have AI influencers. They're going to be using AI influencers. They're going to be generating AI images to produce content. It's so easy. It looks so good. It looks so good. It's going to happen. And I think that companies that realize this sooner, businesses that are leveraging these tools sooner are going to have a massive competitive advantage.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you. So if we're on the topic of artificial intelligence and how it helps our business, sure, it's frightening to think about all these things are going to happen. We're not going to have to go to work anymore. Nobody's going to exist as human beings. But maybe we could talk about, you know, how do you automate, you know, if you need to be everywhere. We could argue about that back and forth, but you got to be a lot of places, right? Because that's what content marketing is all about. How do you get it done as an individual? I have a lot of solopreneurs that listen to the show. How do you do it? I think they're all overwhelmed. I think they don't know where to start. I think they try something and say it doesn't work, but you got to do things on a regular, consistent basis. So how does AI help you do that? And how can you do it?
You certainly got to get better at it. It's all about systems. Okay. I'll back it up a little bit just to kind of put this in a contextual story about a little bit like to how I got to where I'm at with my systems. I was an insurance guy. I know. I'm not a sadist. After graduating college, I got into insurance. I was running a property and casualty agency, which basically is just like a job where you just get flogged all day because my rates are too high or they denied my claim or...
I shudder.
It's terrible. But as at a certain point, I was like, this isn't for me. I want to do something else. So I started podcasting. That's about 5 years ago. I looked at a bunch of different businesses, but I said, podcasting is fun. I enjoy this. Let me start. I sucked. I was terrible. No good. I had no experience in media. I kept at it.
I'm going to do podcasting as a business. It wasn't like, oh, I think I'll start a podcast or a blog or something, you know?
Well, it was, you know, listen, I started out and I said, I'm listening. I was trying different types of businesses, right? Everything from opening up a mattress store to Amazon FBA to, financial planning and stuff like that. So I was looking at sorts of different businesses. I even spent a good 6 months doing children's book illustrating and writing, right? So I was all over the place. But what I realized was like, I'm listening to podcasts all the time to learn these skills. Why not start my own? So I started it and I enjoyed it. I said, okay, even if I get zero downloads, I'm going to do this for 52 weeks. I'm going to do it for 1 year. And I'm going to see where I'm at. And at the end of that, I was like, I enjoy this. this is fun. I'm starting to get some work, you know? And over time, I just got better and people started paying me to help them with their shows.
Got it.
And it was a lot of fun. I started hiring team, hiring people, very expensive, by the way. But it was a good journey. So this is where my inflection point was. This happened about a year and a half ago, mid 2022. I got that dreaded message that every employer eventually gets, which is the boss, I quit. So key team member tells me he quits, and I did the next thing that most business owners do, and I started doing the work myself just to try to stay above water, okay? I wasn't getting good applicants. I'm just doing the work to stay above water. I became overwhelmed, wasn't sleeping well, wife was upset, no one was happy. I said, there's got to be a better way. So I started using AI. I started hearing chatter. Some people in the space were talking about it. So I started using AI to perform this task. Mitch, I saved 90% of my time immediately. Okay. 90%.
So what was the first tool that you used?
I was using a tool called Capshow. Okay. And this tool converts audio to text. I was using it to generate show notes.
Okay.
Okay. And I was like, this is crazy what this is able to do. And this is a year and a half ago. Things have gotten better since then. I was like, this is nuts. This is nuts. I'm saving so much time. I trained all my team. I started executing on more AI tools and processes. I was empowering team and giving them tools and doing trainings. And then 4 months later, I quit my day job. And I've been all in on podcasting since then, and all in on AI since
then. Now, Mark, was your business plan, your intention to create a company that helped other people podcast, or you were kind of like, well, I'm going to give this podcast thing a try and see where it takes me.
That's a good question. My original business plan was just, I'm going to try to start learning some new skills. I'm enjoying this because one of the powerful things that happens with podcasting is you get access to people you normally wouldn't have access to.
Right.
So like, within a few weeks, I had had a Super Bowl champion on my show. I had had a presidential candidate on my show. I was connected with the mayor and some of the city officials. Like, this is pretty freaking cool. Yeah.
What was the name of the show at that point?
That show was called the Awesome Dad Show. It's just about fatherhood. Again, I was just kind of like feeling out the waters.
Like, that's funny.
But things evolved. After I started like picking that up and doing that for a while, getting some gear, kind of understanding the processes, I launched the After Hours Entrepreneur, which is about leveraging the newest tools to grow your business. And you know, within a couple of weeks, I had had Pat Flynn on my podcast, who's one of the biggest passive income guys on the market. And so I just kind of kept going from there. The connections that you make are you can't put a price tag on it.
Right. How'd you get Pat Flynn? I mean, you were new, right? You were just getting started.
Yeah, I got Pat Flynn, because I had a platform. I had a reason to talk to him. It wasn't just like, hey, can I hop on a 30-minute call and pick your brain? Or, you know, you want to hook up for a virtual coffee? It was, no, I have a podcast. Would you like to come on? So I got him on, and this is a great way to get great guests on your show, as I joined his mastermind community.
You became a customer.
Joined his community. I invested in him. And so not only did I invest in him and get him to come on my show, but I also met like several dozen people that were like-minded. So there was a lot of benefit to joining that mastermind community. It's one of the best ways to get people on your show.
That's good advice. Yeah. I think when I got started in podcasting, because just like you, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I had to produce content for my practice, for what I do. I think it was a Pat Flynn video. It was like, you can start a podcast for $75. And there was a list of equipment and what you get. I mean, it was shitty equipment in those days, but it was. And I thought you needed like a studio with like a sound engineer and, you know, all the mics we have now and mixing boards. But you don't. You can really just do it. And I used to have buddies that were doing a podcast, like a 15-minute show. They were at work. They would leave work for a break, coffee break. They would jump in their car. They did it on like Anchor, you know, the one where you do it through an app, and they would record it in the car in their phone on the speaker phone and do the little podcast and get it out there. You can do it.
Which is great. I think the key here, though, is like for most business owners, you're not really interested in being like Joe Rogan. You're not looking for millions of downloads on your podcast. If that happens, then great. But most business owners, most business owners, what you want to do is you want to be able to create content at scale without spending a lot of time.
Right. And if you like talking and doing it, you want to, but you don't want to spend a lot of time doing it, editing, you know, clipping it, chopping it up, posting it here, doing it there. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And you know, so really what I try to help business owners do is like, how do we eliminate all that junk time? How do we automate the pre-production, the post-production? You did a really good job with like just letting me know, hey, Mark, this is what's happening. So I could see you have some automations in place on the front end. We'll see what the automations are on the back end too. You know, we'll see what that looks like. That's all important. But also like, there's value in having like a studio that you go to and you sit down with and you have a producer. Like, that's great. If you want to be big in podcasting, I think you need to be doing that. Okay. But that takes so much time and so much effort. I would much rather spend my time as a business owner looking good on Zoom. I want to look good and sound good on Zoom. That's very important, not just for the way that you show up professionally, but also for creating a high quality experience for your listeners and for your viewers that doesn't take a lot of time. Because if you have to get in the car, drive to the studio, do up your hair, record, get back, that's maybe half an entire day. We don't want to do that. We want to just be able to hop on a 30-minute Zoom call and be done.
Yeah, no, I couldn't do all the podcasting I do now. I mean, I'm in the office. I do Fridays two times and I jump. I was on a call doing a little work a minute before I jumped on here with you. It can't operate that way. I mean, I think the days of commuting, we're realizing that commuting was such a waste of time. You spend 2 hours going to and from work or even more in some larger cities. It's just a frigging waste. Yeah. It's just a waste. But I think that a lot of people, I think they're specifically about podcasting, if you're talking about it. People ask me to talk. Hey, can you talk about how to podcast? And what I said, well, I'm not exactly an expert. Well, yeah, but you did it. So come and talk to our group. And I would do that locally. By the end of the presentation, they're like, oh, forget this. I'm not doing this. Like, it's just too much of them. And I said, listen, you can, there's people that'll do it for you and, you know, studio and put all the stuff together. But,
well, that's the other thing. Like I said, like most business owners, we don't want to, like I'm kind of like a freak because I actually really enjoy the process of podcasting. Most business owners just like, I just want to make more money. I want to generate better leads. I want to develop better relationships. I want to speak to people that are maybe above my pay level. I don't want to be a professional podcaster. Right. It's not the podcast is not about being a podcaster. The podcast is the engine for your entire digital media presence. The podcast is your blog, your email, your LinkedIn. Yeah. It's everything. It's your YouTube. It's how you show up in the modern world. People could care less about the yellow pages. People, if someone goes to YouTube or to Google, do you show up? And the podcast is the fuel that helps you to show up.
No question about it. But you're right. People just want to show up, sit down and start talking and then get up and leave, which is fine. I like you enjoy doing it. I like doing the editing and I like, you know, having my finger on the pulse of what I'm doing and whatever, but it's really, like you said, it's the only thing I do. It's the center hub of how I market my practice. And then everything shoots off of there. A lot of it automated because I don't have time either. Just me. You know, I have like a.
Exactly. And when you're implementing the right automations and AI and tips and tools and outsourcing, you need to have people involved in this process. That's how you get to a point where it takes you 20 minutes a week and it's all done, which is where we want to be.
Okay. So, are we talking about the guy who says, oh, you know, I think I'd like to podcast? Or are we talking about somebody who's already doing it and we need to get some time back from them? Who's our person we're focusing on right now?
Well, I mean, I work with both, but I, you know, most of my clients are someone who's coming from day one. They're like, you know, Gary Vee keeps telling me I need to be creating social media content, but I don't know where to start. Maybe you're using a webcam. You don't know how, you know, so I work with people from a wide degree. I also like to work with people that they understand the value of being a guest on podcasts.
Yeah. Guesting's a good way to start.
It's a great way to start because then you start to get a basic, like, do I even enjoy this at all? Maybe you have a basic idea of like how a webcam and a mic work, which by the way, is not that complicated. No. That's something we can walk you through, but, generally speaking, those are the best clients. But you know, if you already have your whole system in place, I have tools to kind of help and whatnot
to speed up the process. Well,
Yeah, to speed up the process. I was working with a guy the other day. He said, Mark, it takes me 7 hours to produce a podcast. What? I said, what?
7 hours?
I said, we need to reduce that by like 80%, yeah, bro. And so after we were done working, it was taking him. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It just boggles the mind. Like, it's no reason people quit podcasting. 7 hours.
That's ridiculous. It takes me, if I was doing it all myself, right? In 40 minutes, I can edit a podcast and do all the social media setups, everything for the automation part of it, all within that time frame. But it's obviously he doesn't have a system. When I, you know, very early on in podcasting, maybe I'm getting a little bit off the topic. I recognize that if I don't have like a template, like a systematic way that I'm doing this every single time and automating parts of it and whatever, I'm going to burn out like everybody else who does eight episodes and never gets to off the ground, because you're spending 7 hours doing a podcast. How in the world could you maintain that consistency if it takes you a whole day to produce a podcast, right?
No, you can't. Give up. And I get that, like, everybody starts somewhere, but you don't need to spend a lot of time in that. You don't need to spend a lot of time like learning that stuff. To your point, every business owner is doing this. And if you're not, I think this is important. I'm not here to tell you what to do, but you need to have standard operating procedures. You have standard operating procedures that it makes it much easier for onboarding new clients. It makes it easier for onboarding new team members. And then what I do when I'm working with clients, both either in the AI space or in the podcast space, is let's look at all these standard operating procedures and let's start to see like what doesn't matter. Like, what are you doing that either isn't providing value, right, or can be outsourced easily to a human being, right, to an agency, or to AI or in automation? Yeah. That's what I'm looking for. And if you don't have it written down on paper, if you're not talking with your team about the SOPs, you're going to be leaving money on the table.
Yeah, no question about it. Yeah, no question about it. And I've had a bunch of guys on the show about processes. That's one of the biggest problems that businesses grow. They don't create any of those processes. They don't have operating procedures that are standardized that they can say, hey, Mark, welcome to the organization. Here's our operating procedure for this thing that you're going to be doing. They're like, what? And they're trying to teach to you on the fly. So now when you talk about AI, you're not just talking about podcasting, right? So what other AI tools do you see or do you use out there that save time and help businesses continue to grow and move forward?
I mean, there's a lot of AI tools and it's kind of exasperating. There's like 2,000 tools that come out every week. But what I've been seeing here recently is there's been a consolidation. Okay. So a cool tool comes up, it gets consolidated down into one of the big ones. My favorite tool, quite frankly, is ChatGPT, which I think everyone is at least familiar with, although spoiler alert, about 80% of people have not even heard of ChatGPT. Yeah, so if you know what ChatGPT is, if you're using ChatGPT daily, you're in the like top 1% of adopters right now. That's where you want to be. Because you need to be using ChatGPT and AI to stay competitive in the marketplace. But even if you're just an employee at a company, AI day is coming. The AI training day is coming. If you've seen Office Space where they bring in the two consultants, that's what's coming to every single corporation in America. They're going to be AI consultants, and then you're going to walk in there and they're going to separate the wheat from the chaff. They're going to say, do you know how to use AI? No, you're in this corner. You do use AI, you're in this corner, and you're going to be in a much better position if you're using it. So,
but ChatGPT is a writing tool, right? I mean, it produces written content, or does it do other things?
It could do a lot more than that. But yes, creating written content is great. Like, write me out a negative message to a team member I have to let go of, or help. And by the way, you don't just copy and paste that. It just helps you to break the writer's block.
It's a starting point, right?
Yeah. How many times have you had to write an email and it takes you like 45 minutes because you just can't? No, that 45 minutes should take 4.5 minutes because ChatGPT can kind of like write out the structure and the summary, and you go in and
no question about it.
Exactly. Level one, super easy. But ChatGPT now can generate images. You can ask it to generate an image of, I don't know, a C-suite executive giving a speech to 1,000 people.
Oh, okay. Does it find an image that fits that, or does it make the image that fits that?
generates the image. It generates the image. You can ask it to do that. Just type in generate image. Now there's a lot of other programs that do this, like Midjourney being one of the most popular. And Ideogram is another popular platform. And I talk about all this stuff on my newsletter too, AIUpdate.ai.
Okay, we'll put a link in the show notes so people can.
AIUpdate.ai, people. It's like stuff is happening so fast.
Very fast.
But that's another cool thing. Like I put together a 100-page guide on how to use ChatGPT. I use ChatGPT for a lot of the formulation and a lot of creating. I go in and I don't just copy and paste. We take the references and we tweak them. I find my best use cases. I test them. Nah, this sucks. I'm going to try it differently. Right. But even just like the other cool thing you can do with images is you can use ChatGPT. You can tell it the dimensions.
Right.
So maybe you're putting on a slideshow. You can say put it in a landscape dimension.
Right.
Right. Or put it in a vertical dimension. It's 16 by 9, 9 by 6. You can tell it the dimensions you want the image to be. And the images look sick, Mitch. They look so cool.
I'll have to try it out. I know ChatGPT, as you learn to ask, make the request better, more specific. You know, you don't want it to write a poem. You want it to write a sonnet. As if he was a 14th century Renaissance, bard. And then it would come out very differently than if it just said, write me a love poem, you know?
Right.
So the more specific, but that's interesting. I didn't know that it produces images. I wonder if there's any kind of copyright issues there anywhere. They have been talking about that. There was a lawsuit, I think, going on with these chat bots and the feeding of the data into these databases and the using of that data, that if it's creating seemingly new content, right, but it's using data and content that's copywritten by you, Mark Savant, but your stuff got loaded in there and from that it's generating new stuff. Is that a violation of your copyright? It's in the courts right now.
I mean, I'm not an attorney, but I think that ChatGPT is taking that issue extremely seriously. OpenAI is very serious about that. I'll give you an example. If you were to go to OpenAI and say, hey, please generate an image of Super Mario having coffee with Bowser, it won't do it. It'll say, hey, that's a copyrighted image. I won't make it.
But however, you could, if you say, you know, create a character for a video game who looks like a little Italian man, it's going to do that and take it from different places, including the Super Mario Brothers. So the question has been raised and it's in the courts right now. Is that a copyright violation by using their information to create new works? And nobody knows the answer to it yet. So it's an interesting area.
I mean, I'm not an attorney, so I'll put out a disclaimer. Though, right? To your point, it's a good idea to consult an attorney, but I think that, It's if you're creating like generic style images, like robot serving a beautiful woman coffee at a coffee shop, you can tell I like coffee. you're almost assuredly going to be okay with that type of thing. It's when you start going into like generate an image of Joe Biden boxing with a kangaroo, like you might run into some issues with stuff like that, which you can do with Midjourney, by the way. Midjourney will do stuff that. ChatGPT has shut that off, I think, because they want to be seen as a more safe enterprise-wide place. Microsoft is one of the biggest companies in the entire world. They're one of the biggest shareholders in OpenAI well. So I think you're pretty safe using OpenAI to generate images and text. Again, especially with text, don't just copy and paste. You're using it as like the structure and to break writer's block so you can get things going.
All right, let me see if we can take a break and I can play some of the commercials because I do have people pay me a little bit of money to keep the podcast going. If not, I'll have to edit them in. So just bear with me and let's see if we can get these going.
Here's a word from our sponsors.
Looking to market and grow your business? Or perhaps you're just getting started and want to hit the ground running. AWeber is the best choice for online email marketing and automation of your business. From maintaining a subscriber list to drip campaigns and landing pages, AWeber gives you tools and integrations that make marketing easy and fun. As our partner and sponsor, we use all their tools to promote the podcast and market our law firm. AWeber, the best alternative for online marketing.
For over 30 years, the Alternative Board, or TAB,
has built a thriving community of forward-thinking CEOs and business owners who want to radically improve their companies. Through unique combinations of one-on-one business coaching, participation in monthly TAB board meetings with other non-competing owners, a suite of strategic tools, and customized strategic planning workshops, TAB membership can deliver greater strength to your business and a better work-life balance for you and your family. All packaged in a streamlined and affordable service that the people at TAB invite you to try risk-free. Are you struggling with managing advertising due to a lack of time or expertise? Perhaps you're facing challenges in scaling ads for your store. Are you feeling lost when strategies have no success? GSM Growth Agency is your reliable partner in overcoming these business challenges. Feel the impact of collaborating with a team dedicated not only to short-term goals, but also to building long-term partnerships and achieving sustained success. Embark on an exciting journey to redefine the possibilities of e-commerce and create a legacy of unparalleled excellence. Take decisive action now. Follow their link in the show notes to receive a complimentary audit of your Shopify store conducted by a GSM expert. Propel your e-commerce game to new heights with GSM Growth Agency. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
Okay, we are back, and we'll do that in post-production. Some problem with the platform today. Never had that happen before, but it doesn't really matter. So we're not live. So what do you want to talk about? You know, it's you're the guest, so it's an entrepreneur show. What else do you want to talk about with regard to all the things that you're doing with entrepreneurs and helping them with AI and saving time and running their businesses better? What kind of things do you coach them about?
Well, I want to talk about practical stuff, good, right? Like, we could talk about stuff like the World Economic Forum anticipates 70 million just jobs displaced over the next 12 months. We could talk about Walmart fully automating 63% of their stores within the next 13 months. By the way, Walmart, largest employer in the United States. By the way, retail, the number one employer in the United States, automating 63% of their stores. Do you think that's going to impact the consumer economy a little bit?
Of course.
Maybe a little bit. So we could talk about that. But what I want to talk about is practical stuff, how you can actually use these tools. And let's stick on ChatGPT because I think it's approachable. Okay. It's very sophisticated. It's well-funded. They have released the ability to create your very own chatbots with ChatGPT.
Okay.
Chatbots, ladies and gentlemen, super powerful. Quite frankly, I had some friends who were developing these chatbots. Because I'm in this space, I'm speaking to a lot of developers. When ChatGPT announced this at their dev day a few weeks ago, their jaw dropped. They're like, I'm out of business.
Well, could put me as a lawyer out of business. These things write contracts for you and stuff.
I was talking about that with a couple attorneys at the Parkland Chamber of Commerce. I was hosting a panel on AI. It's funny, and this is, we'll come back to chatbots here in a moment, but this is a very common thing that I hear people say across every industry. They say, well, I won't be replaced because it's about human-to-human connection.
Yeah, no, that's not the reason. The only thing that protects me right now is that you can write a contract with ChatGPT, for example, but you don't know what's – like nobody's telling you why this paragraph should be in there or not, and you don't know what you're reading. That will change, obviously, over time. So, it's like
– Well, and this is the important part, and we brought this up earlier. You know, before you start going all in on this stuff, probably a good idea to consult an attorney.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, you mentioned before about, you know, using it as a starting point. Right now, the accuracy of this stuff is not that reliable. I mean, there were two guys, I think in Texas or maybe in Massachusetts, whatever. They wrote a brief for the two lawyers. I guess they were under time pressure. They wrote a brief through ChatGPT, didn't check anything, submitted it to the court. When the court obviously checks citations and stuff, the cases didn't even exist. And they got admonished. I think they even got fined for doing that.
Yeah, that was in New York. They were suing an airline company. And the airline company's like, what the hell is this? And the judge was like, this is all nonsense. And by the way, this is great. The attorney doing his due diligence asked ChatGPT, is this real case law? And ChatGPT is like,
right. So you do gotta be careful right now. I'm not saying that's gonna continue forever, but right now it's got issues. Now you were talking about chatbots. Is that like when you're on a website and a little thing pops up and you can chat and ask questions? That's what a chatbot is?
That's Level one, okay. Yes. But typically, you have to spend a lot of time programming that chatbot. Typically, they're not going to be as sophisticated. You're just going to train them on a few frequently asked questions, and that's it. But when you unleash the power of ChatGPT, which has read every single book, it knows everything that's happened on the internet up until March of 2023. It's watched every movie, every TV show. It's been trained on billions, if not trillions, of pieces of data. You've got a powerful freaking machine at your disposal.
It's a super brain.
It's unbelievable. People, I just don't know, understand how people don't understand like how revolutionary this is sometimes. So the benefit, so what you can do is a ChatGPT Pro member, which is $20 a month, which may be worth it for the most powerful tool in the history of mankind. Maybe worth
good,
it.
Good spokesperson.
$20 a month. And what you could do is you could create your own chatbots, okay? And I'm kind of break down like some of the use cases as a practical, as a business owner, you might want to use this, right? So maybe you are looking for a way to attract new clients into your business, okay? Or maybe you want to build your email newsletter. You want people to sign up for your email newsletter, right? And you can say, hey, you know, this is my pitch, you know, I've put 10,000 hours of podcasting experience into this guide. I typically charge $250 to $500 an hour for consulting on podcasting, right? I've uploaded, but you can get me for free with this chatbot. It's been trained, again, on 10,000 hours of personal experience. It's been trained on dozens of pieces of guides and worksheets and training modules. I've put in my own personal answers and personal advice to dozens of my frequently asked questions after working with dozens and dozens of clients. It's all in this chatbot. You can get it for free. Just plug in your email and I'll send it to you, right? It's a pretty powerful way of leading with value, okay? But here's the best part, Mitch. That chatbot is a sales machine.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Because not only is it a way of you saying, oh, that sounds interesting, Mark. I'd like to get access to that. Well, I've programmed it in a way so that a lot of times it's going to refer you to like my Amazon sales page. If you said, hey, Mark, what's the best microphone? It'll say, these are the microphones I recommend. Here's a link to Mark Savant's Amazon page, right? Maybe you're asking like, well, hey, Mark, how do I get great guests on my show? And it'll give you 10 examples. Say, here's a YouTube video that goes into more detail.
Okay.
Right. Hey, Mark, how do I monetize my show? Here's 10 different ways. Maybe let's hop on a consulting call. Here's a link to my calendar.
But you asked ChatGPT to program this for you, basically.
I program ChatGPT. Stay up all night programming it, playing with it. And again, one of the cool things you can do with ChatGPT is you can upload PDFs, charts, graphs. You can even upload images of your refrigerator. You can upload anything. And so you, as an intern, you probably have a ton of an attorney, you probably have a lot of documents, PDFs, training modules. You can upload all of that into your ChatGPT chatbot as a way of training it more quickly. Okay.
That's if you have the premium subscription. This is not the free one.
Right. You need the $20 subscription. I also point out that before you start uploading trade secrets and sensitive personal information, pause. You are uploading this into a publicly referenced machine, so you want to be careful.
It's not your private database.
Exactly. In Spain, actually banned ChatGPT for a few months because of these types of privacy and security concerns. So be careful before you upload trade secrets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if you're putting in some of this information, that can be very valuable. The other way you can use this too is by training new team members. New team member comes in. Here's all our standard operating procedures, and here's a chatbot that you can ask. You can communicate with, which can save you time. You can also give this to clients. How often are you getting the same question from a client? You know, you could say, here's a list, you know, here's my PDF with all my FAQs, have fun. Or you could say, hey, here's a personal chatbot that I've spent dozens of hours programming and training. This is a great resource too.
Well, people like to ask, they don't want to read. I find people lazy about stuff like that. That's interesting.
But there's a combination. You can say, hey, use this. If it doesn't give you a great answer, I'm always available, right?
Okay, well, that was unexpected. Okay, so what other tools do you like? Besides, now we know ChatGPT is more than just something that can write a letter. People should keep looking into. What are some other tools you like to use?
Another one of my favorite tools is a tool called Cast Magic. Okay. Cast Magic, super sick tool for copywriting. And it is, by the way, powered by OpenAI. OpenAI, the creator of ChatGPT. Cool. Exactly. Right. And it's basically like a foundation that other tools are being built off of, right? So Cast Magic is really cool. Oh, by the way, just on those chatbots you can build. OpenAI, ChatGPT is going to be opening up a marketplace soon where people can find your tool, either pay for it, get it for free, and then there's other ways you can monetize there as well. So just
like an app store, but a ChatGPT store, basically.
Exactly. Store. And if your GPT is popular, that's a new place to get found. It's, you know, this is like Google that hasn't, it's like if you were the first guy on Google, do you think that that would be pretty good for your business?
So it's in its infancy and it's a good time to jump in.
Yeah, it's a good time to start playing. So that's that. But as far as tools that I like that I'm using regularly, Cast Magic is awesome. Okay. I can just copy a YouTube video, just a link to one of my YouTube videos or to one of my podcasts, and it will write out show notes. It'll find keywords. It'll give suggested titles. It'll write out blog articles. It can write out LinkedIn posts. So it can do a lot of the writing for me. You can even give it custom prompts. You can train it on your tone of voice. So there's some cool things you can do with it. Again, just like with all AI tools, you can't just like copy and paste that because it's going to do some like wonky stuff. Right. You know, it's not Stephen King when it comes to copywriting.
Right. But you upload what? The audio of the podcast and then it'll do the show notes and the whole thing?
Exactly. Exactly. It'll write out the show notes and then you go in and you can clean it up, like remove this, add that. And so it's incredibly powerful. I actually have a discount code. I don't remember, but if you email me mark@marksavantmedia.com, mark@marksavantmedia.com, I have a discount code I'll send you. mark@marksavantmedia.com.
We'll put that in the show notes. Mark.
Yeah. So that's a tool I like. Descript. Descript is another really cool tool. Yeah. Descript is really useful for quickly editing audio, video, creating clips, stuff like that. So that's a great tool
if you have a guest and they say a lot. And you got to clean it up because what are you going to do? You know, some people are nervous.
Yeah. All you have to do is type in remove all instances of the word although you need to be kind of careful with that because sometimes it'll sound like the record is skipping because we as humans, we use the word as a way of filling in sentences. Yeah. So when you remove that, it just sounds like
just jumps around
the record.
You gotta listen to it. But I think it's incredible that it's such basic technology for you to be able to edit words that changes the audio video portion of it. It's just nuts. You know,
it's unprecedented. If you would have looked at me 5 years ago, I was spending so much time doing this crap.
Yeah, no, I don't. I told you I don't do video editing, right? That's why I use this studio, and that's why the audio portions are supposed to play. I'll have to edit them. But I still, even when we're off, I can edit things. If we had a jump and something happened, I don't know, if something, your shelf fell behind you and you're like, oh, can we get that out of the video? I could just delete the words from the transcript in this studio and it'll remove it. But it might look a little choppy. Yeah. You got to fix it up a little bit, but.
Which is where I think that it's good to have some people that are they're managing that, you know, whether it's on your team or outsourced to an agency like mine. You want to have some people that are using these tools the right way to be efficient.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. All right. So I know two out of three. That's pretty good, right? I knew ChatGPT and I knew Descript. Cast Magic. I'm definitely going to check out. Sounds like something I could use for the podcast. What about? If you go outside the podcasting world, you're talking just like general entrepreneurs, kind of tools do you see that can help people? I'll give an example. It's not really AI, right? But during the pandemic, I realized early on that if I had a calendar program, I use Calendly, but there's a bunch of them out there, that I could capture hours of time trying to schedule meetings with clients, right? So I'd say, are you available Tuesday at 11? If you're not available then, here's a link to my calendar and pick another time. And then they post it and I don't have to go back and forth. What other tools do you see out there that are kind of like that, that allow people to capture time and free up what they're doing?
Oh, Mitch, there's so many good ones. And again, I'm keeping everyone updated with the AI update.ai. Yeah, that's my free newsletter. Right? Oh, it's unbelievable. I would say Zapier, which is not exactly AI, but once you start leveraging AI with Zapier, things get crazy.
That's a connection. I don't know tool, if we right? connects tools and makes them work together with the APIs. That's a great one. I love that one too. Yeah, because
Zapier is awesome.
No, I absolutely use it too.
And so Zapier is awesome. Another really cool tool that I'm using, and you know, so a lot of people, you've probably heard of Zoom before. You're probably on a lot of Zoom calls. Zoom has some AI integration that they're starting to roll out. So if you're like late to a meeting, it'll summarize and do stuff like that. It's not very robust. So one of my favorite tools
for it just showed up on the update. I was like, what the heck is that?
Yeah, I need to record a YouTube video on that, but that's another.
Okay, put that on your list.
One of my favorite tools is a tool called Avoma. It's a Zoom assistant.
Okay. Avoma? Okay?
And Avoma, A-V-O-M-A, Avoma. Okay. And there's a few tools like this, but Avoma happens to be one of my favorites. So this is what it does. It pops into your Zoom meetings, and it's just listening the whole time.
It's like Autopilot, one of those things?
Very similar. It's very similar. Like it just has some features that I think are really helpful. Okay. So it does a few things. A, it transcribes all the minutes. Okay. B, it summarizes them for you. It'll give you key takeaways from the meeting. Okay. It can do a lot of things when it comes to copywriting and using AI to copyright. Okay. Right. But it has a couple cool features that I think are really neat. And so what it'll do is it'll identify times in the meeting where maybe a question was asked, or an objection was raised, or the call to action happened. It'll notate who the longest speaker was. It'll notate the longest monologue, who's speaking the most. And it does it in a very visual way so I can actually point it out. So let me give you some practical examples of why this might help. Let's say you're using it as a sales assistant, okay? So one of the things that great salespeople know is I want to do more listening and less talking. When I started to use this tool on my sales calls, I was like, holy crap, I'm speaking 60% of the time.
You don't realize. You don't think you're not, but you really are speaking more than you think. Yeah.
Exactly. And so what I after as using this as a training tool, both personally, you could use this for your team and for your sales staff. I was able to get my speaking time down to typically about 30 to 35%.
Yeah, that's probably a good mix, right? You want them to talk. What do they say? You have one mouth and two ears, so you should use it in that ratio.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And generally speaking, if someone gets on a call with you, like, what is the number one thing that people want is they want to be heard.
Of course.
They want to be heard.
Listen to you, there was this, generally.
Right. There was this study done. It was like a dating study. And the people that got the most dates or the people that got ranked the highest are the people that were doing the best listening.
Yeah, always. No, absolutely. And sales, what do they say? Last one to talk loses or something in a sale? Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah, that's good. But I think a lot of that consciousness – becoming aware of what you're doing is definitely, you know, 2/3 of the battle.
Right. And it's not like your sales. This is the other reason it's beneficial. How often do you want your team manager or your boss to come up and saying, you're spending too much time talking. You need to listen more. You're like, shut the hell up, boss. I don't want to hear you. But if you go to if you take the tool and you say, hey, yeah, listen, I noticed that you spent 60% of the time speaking. What do you think about that? Is that where you want to be?
It's a different approach. Absolutely.
It's much more quantitative. It's not subjective. It's objective.
Right. Yeah, because you don't really tell what to do. That's pretty good.
The other thing that's cool about this too is as a sales leader, sales coach, is you can go in and you can see what was the objection that was raised. So you can see what are the common objections that are being raised. Why are people not wanting to purchase?
Yeah.
How is my salesperson overcoming that objection? How am I overcoming that objection?
No, it's the biggest part of sales, right? Overcoming objections. They have classes on it. They have modules on it. You learn those. But if they say these are the objections you're going to get, you're not getting those. Either you get them in real time and you figure out what are the objections, what people say.
The other thing that's valuable too, the other reason I like this is maybe you're in a group, like you're in a meeting for an hour. Oh, God help us with these hour-long Zoom meetings. But you remember, I think that Jill said something, but it was really important. I just can't remember. What did she say?
You go back.
You go back to your tool and you see where are all the places that Jill spoke, and you can easily find that key nugget that Jill mentioned. And it's in a video format too. So even if you wanted to like clip that out and share it with the rest of your staff, anyway, I found it Avoma to be a great tool for Zoom.
Now, is that a free tool or is it a pay?
It has a free trial and there's different payment tiers.
Got it. Nice. Okay. So now is Avoma like one of the apps? I know there's a button on Zoom that you click on it and this whole menu of apps comes up on the right side. Is it one of the apps there, Avoma, or is it a separate thing? You got to go to Avoma.com and you got to integrate it or something.
I don't believe it's an app, but it does integrate with your Zoom cloud. So it might be. I started using it a while ago, so I'm not sure if it's integrated directly, but it's it does integrate directly with your cloud. So any meetings that are recorded into your cloud are automatically put through the Zoom, the Avoma assistant, as long as it's recorded to your cloud.
Got it. Okay. I don't know what I do when I record. I guess I record it to the cloud. I don't know. I stop.
It depends. You generally are recording either to your cloud or to your local computer.
Yeah, I think I did it to the cloud and then I download it. But I don't do as much anymore because I do all the podcasting through this platform. So
through Riverside, which Riverside is rolling out a lot of new AI features too, which
I think is really good. Transcription stuff, and you can make the edits and stuff like that. Apparently their media files don't work. I got to figure that part out, but we'll get through that. Okay, good. So this is all awesome stuff. So Mark, you mentioned to go to your website and they can register for your newsletter, right? They can sign up for your newsletter to follow you. I assume you're on all the other platforms, right? People want to interact with you on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever, to follow you and to work with you and to get to know what you're all about, right?
Yep. You can find Mark Savant all over the web. If you have any questions, you want to directly connect with me, you can get me at mark@marksavantmedia.com. Okay. mark@marksavantmedia.com, whether you want to automate your podcast or you want to do some AI consulting to make sure that your workflows are streamlined, mark@marksavantmedia.com.
All right. Well, we'll put that in the show notes. And Mark, I thank you for spending an hour with me on a Friday morning when it's, well, you said it's cold outside, but it's not cold for Jersey.
It's cold for Florida. We're like in the high 60s
nice.
Over here.
Time to break out the fur coats. Well, I appreciate it, Mark. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Mitch.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur. Opening and closing music written and performed by Howie Moscovich and Made to Order Music. For information about Howie and his music services, please follow the link in our show notes. If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Amazon Music, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and most of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinackerlaw.com.
The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted by Mitch Beinacker and produced by Beinacker Law. If you'd like to learn more about our business and legal services, you can find us on social media or visit our website at beinackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.